We're reading from 1 Peter 2, beginning of verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. I was simply reflecting here for a moment back on Psalm 22. You know, we're familiar with that Jesus utterance on the cross. It begins, my God, why have thou forsaken me, and so on. But it says in verse 12, many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have set me around. We don't really grasp what the ancient mind was thinking about that, but it's talking about the demonic powers that were opposing Jesus. And I suppose they were rejoicing. But we're told, the Apostle Paul tells us in Corinthians, if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't count on the resurrection. They didn't count on that was God's victory. How God hid that from them, I don't know. But it just seems like Satan has such a working knowledge of Scripture. He should have known, but by wicked hands, Jesus was crucified. Satan was behind it all. So heaven didn't mess up. Evil messed up. You know, you can't outdo God. It was his plan from the beginning, and nothing will change. I think why I'm saying all this, don't forget, he came up from the grave. He brought down from the cross, put in a grave, but he came back out of the grave. He's coming again. And so, wow, that's just terrific to me. The ultimate victory is Jesus. Let's kneel before him as we pray.
We thank you for your prayers on my behalf this evening. And Brother George's prayer. The title of the message this evening is The Greatest Love Story. On January 26th, 2005, in Glendale, California, that's near Los Angeles, a commuter train struck a sport utility vehicle that had been left on the tracks. The train derailed and struck another commuter train. 11 people died and 200 were hurt. John Phipps was on the train. He was on his way to work, and when the crash occurred, the 44-year-old Phipps became pinned in the wreckage. And in the process of being pinned, he touched the back of his head, and his hands came away covered in blood. He called for help but got no immediate answer. He did survive the crash, and later he tells this, that at one point he reached out, felt a chair, and then saw his bloody handprint, and believing that he was dying, he wrote a message in his own blood on the back or on the upended train seat. And the message was this, it said, I, and then a heart, my kids. And then secondly, he said, I, and then another heart, Leslie, which was his wife. It was a message of love written in his own blood. And tonight we look back to the cross where another man, the God-man, Jesus Christ, wrote a message of love in his own blood. And the songwriter captures this thought really well when he says this, before salvation in a far distant land, two rusty nails pierced two precious hands. There a man named Jesus for silver was sold, On an old rugged cross, the greatest love story was told. He cried, "It is finished," and the world heard the sound, marking the beginning as his blood touched the ground. The master plan for living on Mount Calvary was made. Such expression of love is salvation today. Oh, oh, what a story. It's like, wow, like George said here a little bit ago, "I love you" was written in blood. Rivers of mercy were flowing. Between two thieves was the Son. Oh, the ransom was paid for every man's soul. On an old rugged cross, the greatest love story was told. You know, the cross is a symbol of the greatest love story known to man. And yet today, perhaps someone thinks, is it really relevant? 2,000 years later, does the cross really make a difference? Will it make a difference in my life? Does it do anything? Does it make any changes? But I'm here tonight to tell you that I'm a testimony of it. That I've been to that cross. And I believe, and you know, it's changed my life. It's impacted my life. It's made a difference. And I still have a message to proclaim about that cross tonight. And as long as the Lord gives me breath, I want to proclaim the relevance of the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, it is an old story, but it's never been more true than it is tonight about a Savior and a sinner and the bridge that was between the two. Oh, an old rugged cross that paid redemption's price. Tonight, I've never been more grateful for the gospel. How about you? I've never been more grateful for the gospel of Christ. The beauty of it is that this story never grows old, and it never loses its significance. And so as we look back at the cross, what seems to be a tragic ending, and Satan for sure thought he had the victory, it was really the unfolding of God's love for you and for me. And we see that the cross has life-changing implications, not because of two pieces of wood, not because it's symbolic of death, but because the sinless Lamb of God gave his life on it. That's why the cross is significant, because Christ was willingly to die there, and nearly 2,000 later, that cross continues to reveal truths and continues to change lives. I wonder tonight, do I stand in awe of that cross? Not again because it was anything in significance in the two pieces of wood, but because Christ hung on it. So as we look back at the cross, we glory in it. We boast in it. Like Paul, the apostle in Galatians 6:14 said, "But God forbid that I should glory or boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Let it not be known to me to boast except in the cross of our Lord." As we look back to the cross, we want to consider seven truths, and we're not covering them all by any means of the imagination here, but seven truths that because of the cross are still impacting lives today. So number one, because of the cross, there is still salvation in the name of Jesus. Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There's no other name by which a person can be saved. The truth is that other religions that promise the hope of being saved through any other name other than Jesus are sadly mistaken. It's not going to happen. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's why the most important question that anyone can answer is, what are you doing with Jesus Christ? What are you going to do about Jesus Christ? If we're trying to find out if someone's a Christian, the ultimate question should not be, do you believe in God? Or it should not be, are you a church member? It shouldn't just be, are you a Christian? Rather, the question should be, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Back in the fall of last year when I had to go into the hospital for COVID and sepsis, just got into my room not long, and the nurse that I had at that time before she went off duty, we were talking, Carol was there, and we were talking, and one thing kind of led to another, and I got the feeling that this nurse might know the Savior that I know. And so I said to her, are you a believer in Lord Jesus? She said, yes. She went on to tell me how her husband is saved and her daughter was saved. That was a God encounter. What a time that was, an experience. But the importance of asking, are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Not just are you a believer in God or are you a Christian, but do you believe in the only name that can save? That's the question that we all have to answer. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth on the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. As we look back at the cross and reflect on it, there's good news. Cross was a terrible thing, but you know, it's good news for you and for me and for all, because for all who will believe, because the cross means there's still salvation in the name of Jesus. Number two, because of the cross, there is still power in the blood of Jesus. Romans 5, 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. It's the power of the shed blood of Jesus that we're made as if we've never sinned, that when God looks down and he sees little old Dwayne Schilt, who deserves nothing but his wrath, he says, I see the blood of Jesus over him, covering him, and he's justified, made as if he's never sinned. It's the power of the blood. Revelation 1, 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The power of the blood. Oh, how we need it. Ephesians 2, 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We are brought closer to the Father through the blood of Christ. We're made into a right relationship with him, one that we didn't have. We were far away, but now the blood has brought us near. What a wonderful place to be. Because of the cross, there's still power. Listen to this, Psalm 103. Verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That's power in the blood. That's because of the blood of Jesus. Well, because of the cross, there is still, number three, forgiveness through God's amazing grace. Ephesians 1, 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And Ephesians 4, 32, we quote it a lot of times for the other parts of the verse. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And 1 John 1, 9 is real and true because of the cross, when it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we boast in it. Our forgiveness is a result of it. There's no other way to experience forgiveness and no other way to have a clear conscience. Oh, the value of a clear conscience. How incredible is it that the God of the universe willingly forgives us our sins, not by the shedding of our blood, but by the shedding of his own sons. That's like, what kind of story is that? It's unheard of. It's the greatest love story. The greatest love story. I want us to think about what the songwriter was trying to capture in these words. Now think about this. And it's interesting to me that Brother George, he referred to this basically. It says, the devil laughed and said, I've won. God has lost his only son. The brightest star no longer shines. Finally, his world is mine. Then he gathered all his demons near, said, we have conquered love with fear. But now listen. Meanwhile, back at the cross, all is not lost. Forgiveness is bought with each drop of his blood that falls to the ground. Mercy abounds as Mother Mary's tears fall down to see her precious son pay the cost. See, Satan thought he had won. But back at the cross, forgiveness was paid for. Now listen to this part. And think about it tonight. Does it apply to me? To you? The devil said, we'll use their pride. We'll attack them from inside. Fill their hearts with vanity till their differences are all they see. It's no use kidding ourselves. We know that we have differences. We're people. The devil said, we'll use their pride, we'll attack them from inside, fill their hearts with vanity till their differences are all they see. But meanwhile, back at the cross, all is not lost. Forgiveness is bought with each drop of his blood that falls to the ground. Mercy abounds. As Mother Mary's tears fall down to see her precious son pay the cost at the cross. You know, we all stand before the cross on the same level. You've always heard that the cross is level, or the ground is level at the cross. So true. We all stand before the cross on the same level. Desperate souls. I heard in one of the hymns we sang tonight, desperate. We cried out to Christ. Desperate souls in need of forgiveness. And it's because of the cross that each of us can have forgiveness through God's amazing grace. And that keeps us on the same level. And when we focus on the similarities, our differences will fade in view. I believe that tonight. When we focus on the similarities, Psalm 103, verses 2 through 5, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Number four, because of the cross, there is a better way to live life. There's a better way to live life. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self, speaking of Jesus, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, there's a spiritual healing that can't happen any other way. It leads to a better life. The wages of sin is death, but there's an antidote. We know that an antidote is a cure for a medicine that's given to counteract a poison. God gives us the antidote The antidote to sin is eternal life through Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross. Sin's curse is no longer upon us. It means a better way to live. Sin's chains are broken. We are free from its bondage. You ever been in any bondage? I have. I know what that's like. But I know what it means to be free. Hallelujah. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It's a better way to live because of the cross. Lock me up in a prison. Throw away the key. Take away the vision from these eyes that now can see. Then deprive me of the food I eat, and even bind my hands and feet. For as long as I know Jesus, I can still go free. A better way to live. That I could still go free. What kind of man would reach down his hand and do this for me? Unworthy to live. Me. But yet I was not fit to kill, because that would have been eternal loss. Yet a man on the cross, you know what he did? He put you and he put me in his will, and said, I could still go free. What an amazing, amazing truth about the cross. A better way to live. Number five, because of the cross, we know that we were worth dying for. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, God showed his love toward us while we were unlovely. 1 Peter 2:24, again, the first part of the verse, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That statement in itself means that you were worth dying for. And I was worth it. Listen, Lord, you had left the splendor of heaven, a crown, a robe, and a throne. So what kind of love would lead you to leave the safety of that kind of home? I know that you willingly suffered, but why would you suffer for me? You ever wonder that? Yeah. I know what I am. And I don't understand how I could be worth Calvary. When you knew I was lost and you knew that a cross was the price you'd have to pay. When we cried crucified. You know, it wasn't just the people there. Put yourself in their shoes, because we were crying it too. We cried crucified. Lord, you didn't have to die, but you did it anyway. Now I'll never see what you saw in me, because you knew I would never be perfect. But I'm just so glad that somehow you thought I was worth it. Yes, he did. The fact that he died on that cross is a truth that's revealed to us that you and I were worth dying for. I don't know how you see yourself in Christ tonight, but you were worth dying for. That means you were worth something to God. That means he has plans for you that gives worth to your life. It means, in other words, it doesn't matter if someone does something better than you or better than me. It may feel like sometimes someone is better than us, but you know, they're really not. Isn't that a good news? Feels like someone's better than me a lot of times, but you ever feel that way, George? Yeah. People are better than you, but you know, they're really not. We're all on the same level, and we're all worth it to God. He said that through the cross. We were worth dying for. And sometimes, you know, we may feel like cast-offs. You know what? But God reaches out to cast-off. We have worth to our Heavenly Father because the cross says so. Number six, because of the cross, we have a shepherd. 1 Peter 2:24, the verse that I've read a couple times, I'm going to read it again. Who his own self bare our own sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. But then listen to the next verse. Okay, he did that. Jesus bore our sins on his own body, in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live because of that, can live on the righteousness because we're healed by his stripes. And then it says this, verse 25, for you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Listen, you know what that means to you and I? All the blessings of being sheep of the shepherd are ours. His leading us, he goes before us, meaning that nothing gets to you or to me before it gets to him. He comes after us when we fall and he picks us back up. He's a loving shepherd and an overseer of our souls because of the cross. Wow. Listen to what Jesus says in John 10 and 27, 29. This is this discourse on the good shepherd. But listen to the closing verses there, some of the closing verses. My sheep hear my voice. As sheep, we hear his voice. I know them. He knows us. And they follow me. Okay, and all that follow means and entails and obeying God's word and following his call and so on. The idea of following him, okay? So sheep hear his voice. They know he's they're known by him and they follow him. He says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I submit to you tonight, if you're a sheep that has heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he knows you, and you're following him, you are secure in him, because he says you'll never perish. All because of the cross. Because of the cross, we no longer stray, but are under the guidance of the good shepherd. Number 7, because of the cross, we're on the winning side. You ever hear, I read the back of the book and we win? Well, I've been to the cross and I win. How about you, all right? We've been to the cross. We're on the winning side. 1 Corinthians 5:57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the loss. So that, you know, I'm sorry, this is the best I can do for you. That's not what he's saying. He says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:14, and here's part of that victory. Blotting out the handwriting and ordinances that was against us. You know, there was a lot of ordinances against me. Against you. But Jesus Christ, it says, which he blotted them out, which was contrary to us. We couldn't do it. And he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. He took those ordinances and he canceled them. He canceled the record of the debt. And now there's no longer a debt on my behalf. That is incredible things tonight, folks. Now we are here. And if you're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're on the winning side. Hebrews 12:2, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Here's the good part. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, because you know what? That signifies victory. And it's Jesus saying, Satan, I defeated you. I won. A victory that becomes ours, that same victory becomes ours through faith in Christ and what he did at the cross. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. We spiritually participate in that crucifixion, gaining the victory. John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace in the world. I'd say that's being on the winning side if we have peace in the world right now. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our faith in who? The Lord Jesus Christ, who died on that cross. And because he did that, we now are on the winning side. In fact, we are overcomers. Overcomers of the world. We are given peace. Romans 8, 31, 32, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is for you, who can really be against you? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Not all things that I want, but all things that we need. And all things spiritually are ours. We're on the winning side. We're winners because of the cross of Christ. Romans 8, 35 and through 37, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who's going to separate us from his love? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No! In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And how did he love us? By dying on the cross. Because of the cross, tonight there is still salvation in the name of Jesus. There is still power in the blood of Jesus. There is still forgiveness through God's amazing grace. There is still a better way to live life. There's still a knowledge that we were worth dying for. There's still a good shepherd for his sheep, and still victory for believers. You may say, well, wasn't the resurrection ultimately what gave us all of these truths? Yes, it was God confirming these truths of the cross. But listen, the cross was the doorway to that resurrection. Without the cross, there couldn't have been a resurrection. And because of the cross, Christ being a perfect sacrifice, there had to be a resurrection. There's no way he was staying in the grave. So once Jesus died, and like George said, Satan must have thought, wow, we got him, it's over. Oh no, that meant victory because he was going to come out of that grave. There was no stopping the resurrection. So because of the cross, these things are all still true. Isaac Watts, boy, he knocked it out of the park when he wrote this. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain. All the houses, all the money, all the whatever I can gain, the status in this life is lost or is lost and poor contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save only in the death of Christ my Lord. All the vain things. Yeah, what are the vain things to you? What are the vain things to me? That charm me most, I sacrifice them through his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? And here it is. Is this our response? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. If I had within me the ability to give anything in nature back to the Lord, that would be too small. Because love so amazing, so divine. You know what it demands? My soul, my life, my all. Because of the cross of Jesus.
We need to ask the question toward the beginning of the message, what will you do with Jesus? We sang the hymn, Jesus speaking, I gave my life for thee. And he asked the question, what hast thou gave for me? Let's kneel for prayer.